They're doing the kinds of labor that freed a disproportionate percentage of the white military-age population of the South to go into the Confederate Army. The Confederacy achieved a quite astonishing level of mobilization because white men were able to go fight in the Army while the economy continued to run behind the lines using a huge reservoir of black labor. When we take into account all the factors, all the pluses and minuses, the Unionists canceling the pro-Confederate people in the North and so forth, you come down to a North that had about a 5-2 advantage in manpower over the Confederacy. 2.5-1, if you want to put it another way, advantage over the Confederacy. And during the course of the war, between 2.1 and 2.2 million men served in the United States military, 2.1 to 2.2 million. Just about half of the military age population of the North, one in two Northern men, in other words, of military age, went into the service. The Confederacy mustered between 750 and 850,000 of its roughly 1 million military age white males. The Confederate figures are much less reliable than the figures for the North, but it's an astonishing rate of mobilization. As I said before, they put roughly 80% of their military age white males into the Army, a very impressive feat made possible only by the presence of slave laborers behind the lines. But in the area of population, potential soldiers, the North has a huge advantage, no way around it. 2.5-1. What about economic strength? Here again, the North is overwhelmingly more powerful. By almost any yardstick, the North enjoyed a huge advantage in this area. And there are any number of ways you can get at this using different kinds of figures. I don't want to overwhelm you with numbers, but let me just throw a few out for your consideration. There were 110,000 manufacturing establishments in the North that employed about 1.3 million workers. In the Confederacy, there were 18,000 manufacturing establishments that employed about 110,000 workers. The easiest way to think about it is that there were as many manufacturing establishments in the North as there were factory workers in the South. It's an enormous edge to the North. Northern railroads, far more extensive, nearly 22,000 miles, only a shade more than 9,000 miles in the Confederacy, and the Northern roads tended to be better built. And beyond that, the North had the capacity to replace worn-out rails, to add new rolling stock. The Confederacy did not. So as the war goes along, Northern railroads get stronger, Confederate railroads become more and more decrepit. According to the 1860 census, the North was at an enormous advantage in key categories. The North had 11 times as many vessels as the Confederacy had. It had 15 times as much iron production, 17 times as many textile goods, 24 times as many locomotives, more than 30 times as many firearms, and on and on and on. Northern manufacturing was colossal compared to the rather modest level of manufacturing in the Confederacy. There were roughly 800,000 draft animals in the North, about 300,000 in the South. And again, we have to remember that mid-19th century armies moved by horse and mule power. That's how you hauled the supplies, that's how you pulled the cannons, that's how you moved the cavalry, and the North has a huge advantage in this area. Overall, enormous strength for the North. Even in food production, the North far exceeds the South, but here we have to remember that the North is feeding far more people. If you factor that in, the food production on Earth on each side turns out to be roughly equal. Each side can certainly feed itself, but in terms of manufacturing, the North a huge advantage. So in population and in manufacturing, the North is almost off the scale compared to the South. And there's another advantage the North has, a clear advantage, and that is in the presence on the side of the northern part of the balance sheet of the United States Army and the United States Navy. The North starts the war with a regular army and a regular navy. The Confederacy starts the war with neither. It has to build from scratch. We have to count this as a plus for the North, But I think it's not as large a plus as it might seem to be, because the United States Army was tiny in 1861. Between 15 and 16,000 men,